Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brandon Woodruff. Welcome to the Small Business Podcast, where I interview different small business owners and I ask them the questions that matter, the questions that you can take their answers and apply them to your business. Just everyone listening and I, as the host, can learn from these people and just all together make our businesses better. Today's guest was Jordan Stanton of Next Level Barbell. Jordan's story is really cool. He basically started a garage gym in a rental house and just scaled it all the way up to a commercial facility that's just got a really, really cool coaching model. So really excited for you to hear that episode and excited to hear what you think. Just real quick, if you're somebody who is struggling to reach your fitness goals, whether it's weight loss, whether it's gaining some muscle, and you would like a strength element to it, just shoot me a text, 251-635-8055. We'll set up a time to chat. I coach people all over the country and I would love to add you to that if your goals and my methods align. Anyway, hope you enjoy this podcast. Let me know your thoughts. All right. Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to the Small Business Podcast. I have with me today Jordan Stanton. Jordan, why don't you go ahead and just introduce yourself and tell us who you are, what you do, man?
Yeah, absolutely. Good morning. My name is Jordan Stanton. I am a strength coach. I was also a critical care nurse for 10 years. I own a gym. I'm also president of the United States Strength Lifting Federation and an online coach for Barbell Logic. In my free time, a competitive power lifter and sort of moving into competitive jujitsu as well.
Man, that's a lot and that's all cool stuff. That's awesome, man. So I'll usually mention on here, we don't know each other personally, but I heard you on the Starting Strength podcast and then kind of followed you on Instagram. And I think I followed you back when you were training people in your garage first. So why don't you tell us kind of like the story of how your business kind of evolved from, you don't have to go as far all the way back, but at least starting with like your garage gym to now, just kind of give us how that unfolded, man.
Yeah, absolutely. The garage gym was a pretty big step from where I was making pretty good money as a critical care nurse and sort of a big leap of faith to go ahead and get that set up. And it was a little 240 square foot garage, not a whole lot, but just the right equipment. And I sort of put some processes in place and threw it out there and said, well, let's see if people come. And people did come and filled that space up super fast. And I made a few good decisions along the way that helped grow it. And quickly overgrew that space and went up to an 800 square foot space, so a bigger garage. Very much converted that to something that looked like a small gym as opposed to a garage, and again outgrew that and outgrew the resources that a house could provide, like simple things like garbage and parking and noise. And then went to a commercial facility. We got 1800 square feet now in Milwaukee, Oregon.
Okay.
And sort of started the dream with a commercial space. So
that's awesome, man. Were you was that the same house that you just kept expanding the gym?
No, they were actually different houses. They were rentals, which is funny that I was able to pull this off, because I'm not sure they all knew that along the way that there was a business being run.
Yeah. I imagine at some point they would have had to find out, but man, that's awesome. That's so cool, man. That's such a cool story. I'm curious, how did you initially get people to come to your like garage to work out?
Yeah, absolutely. I had a group of people that I had already known through powerlifting and the community local, and that was a help. And I also had my starting strength certification, which at the time was trickling a decent number of clients in towards us being one of the only coaches in the area that had that credential.
Yeah.
And I was afraid that people would show up to a garage and be like, oh, no, not so much. But I was pleasantly surprised to find out that most people actually enjoyed it and maybe even preferred it over a lot of other spaces, because it was a more intimate space. It was more private. They felt, you know, all their money was being spent on coaching and none of it was being spent on any sort of overhead. So I could offer them really competitive prices and a really kind of a unique experience. And as long as the garage was professional, which is what I always intended to do, it seemed to work really well.
Yeah, man, that's amazing. That's such a cool story. I mean, so you started with a small garage gym, kept moving to bigger, like rentals with bigger garages, expanding the gym, and then moved into a commercial space. I have that right?
Yep, that's
correct. That's awesome. That's cool. So what, just kind of in the process of that, what would you say have been some of your biggest like obstacles and hurdles and struggles you've had to overcome, like in building your business?
The biggest obstacles that I had to overcome was, some of that was the growth. Like there was some really fast growth and trying to deal with that really early and realizing that the systems I had in place were not ready to deal with that and ready to deal with the new challenges that would bring on in the organization required and having to adapt to that on a pretty fast basis. And then the moves are very stressful for small businesses, especially things like gyms that people would rather be close to them than not close to them. So trying to pick locations based on needs as well as existing clients was a big challenge, because every move, a piece of my client base would leave. And I knew that going into it, but the moves were all still necessary.
Yeah.
And then the biggest challenge I'm sure every business is facing is the COVID stuff and having to actually just close a business outright for a period of time with very, very little assistance in order to do that. It's very similar. It was when I moved into this commercial space, I thought, well, this is great. I got 3 years where we're going to be stable and we can build. And then here comes this big thing, shuts me down. And it's just like a move. Anybody that's even close to on the fence is not going to come back. And a lot of their incomes have been affected. And so that's been the biggest challenge for sure.
Yeah. I don't know of any business that was not affected in some way by this, man. It's one of those things that I don't think anybody could have seen coming, you know? So
yeah, I hear Amazon's doing pretty well though.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. But even them at first, they were like, okay, this is going to take 3 weeks to ship to you. You know? Yeah. So how have you adapted like during this time? Have you kind of switched to more of like an online coaching model, or what does that look like?
Yeah, so I already have an online coaching model in place. I work for Barbell Logic as well. And so I definitely put some more eggs in that basket to sort of float the gym along. And I took a bunch of my equipment and I rented it out to my various athletes, especially the ones that I knew were going to stay. And I wanted them to keep training. And so I put out a bunch of equipment to sort of help keep them moving. And I put out some videos too with even simpler stuff like, hey, if you got a kettlebell, like here's some stuff you can do to stay in shape. Or if you have nothing, here's some body weight stuff you can do. So in the interim where I can't be there with you, here are some options for you.
That's awesome, man. I love that you adapted that way. I mean, I definitely have seen, I'm in some Facebook groups and stuff where I've definitely seen some people who are gym owners or fitness coaches just kind of be like, I'm ruined, you know? So it's good. It's cool that you were able to just adapt. I mean, the renting out the equipment to me is kind of an ingenious move. That's cool.
Yeah. If you can keep them training, then they're going to stay excited and they'll come back.
Definitely. And man, I would just say, I mean, like if I was in your area and I'd heard of that, I would totally have been attracted to like a garage gym type of thing, because I think it almost has like you said, the privacy almost has almost like a secret club, like type of vibe to it. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Pretty awesome. Okay. So going to get into a little bit of the, just behind the scenes business stuff here. So who would you say, is your target audience? Kind of like your avatar or whatever term you want to use. Who are your targets?
Yeah, I'll give you two targets. So the one target we have is, I like to think of as everyday people that are looking to get strong. That's who I want to work with. I want to work with the average Joe that finds benefit in strength training, or I want to show them the benefit to strength training.
Yeah.
And that's a huge audience. That's, you know, it's youth all the way up to elderly and everything in between, because a lot of gyms in the area sort of go for the competitive power lifters and the young group. Yeah. And there's so many of those gyms and that's great for them, but I want to get everybody else involved as well.
Yeah.
Now, the group from a business standpoint that I'm targeting, to be very specific, is kind of this group that's about 30 to 55. They've had kids or they're a little post-kids. They have money now, so they can afford services. And it's definitely more men than women. It doesn't mean we don't try to target the women, but just knowing the industry that there are more men than women that we're able to get into the gym. And then we sort of set our pricing structures according that our primary services are marketed towards them, but there's some ancillary services and other things that we build up to try to attract some of the younger audience too, that might be into competitive athletics and sports and those things.
That's awesome, man. I think answers like yours are, to me, and I think people who listen, are inspirational, because I know one thing that when I first started, like, kind of going out on my own in business, it was all about, you need to find this crazy specific niche of people, you know what I mean? And I was just like, well, who is that for me, you know? And so, I initially, you know, I there are some, like, groups of people that I tend to get pull most of my clients from, but that's mainly, like, they're people who have a lot of commonalities with me, and they're in my like you said, they're in my network already, or it's mm-hmm. kind of expanding out from there. But I think, you know, I definitely, you know, I'm definitely not a starting strength coach, but my main method of training is, like, barbells and dumbbells and strength training and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. You know, I think that's really cool that I feel similarly. I'm just like, anybody who's willing to, like, give strength training a try, you know what I mean? If you'll just give it a couple of months, let's see how you feel about it, you know? I've never had anybody who's like, this wasn't for me. You know, there are definitely people who dislike certain movements, but it doesn't mean they're just going to say, never mind, you know? So that's awesome, man. Okay. So let's just get into how do you market? So how do you get yourself out in front of, like, new prospects? How do people first learn about Next Level Barbell?
Yeah, absolutely. I think the biggest piece at this point is word of mouth. We've worked with enough clients, enough customers. They tell their friends, they tell their family, they tell their girlfriends. Yeah. And that expansion has become pretty self-sustaining at this point. And that's the best you can have, a reference from someone that they trust. We'll get them in the door, and it'll get them staying as well. Yeah. And then some of my coaches, I have a couple coaches, they make fun of me because I talk to everybody about strength training, and not unnaturally either. I don't just walk up to people on the street, but yeah. I'm so passionate about this stuff that it doesn't take much to kind of trigger me to go into talking about strength training and barbells and these other things. And so, you know, I'll be talking with the local cashier about it. And maybe once in a while it sparks a little interest, and mm-hmm. I got a business card ready to hand off. And
yeah,
I'm not trying to force sales on anybody. It doesn't even feel like that to me either. It's just natural. It's part of my life, and I'm happy to share it. And sometimes that leads to, you know, sales generation as well.
Yeah. It's amazing.
That's key.
Yeah. It's amazing how much more natural sales is when you actually care about the product you're selling. Right?
Absolutely.
that's awesome. So word of mouth, I mean, to me, that's the dream. You know, you don't have to do a ton of marketing. People are just sharing it. Do you do any, like, social media content, anything like that, or not really?
No, definitely do. We've done more in the past. Right now, I have an Instagram account that sort of just celebrate our various athletes. And it's a good opportunity to show the diversity that we have in our gym. Yeah. So I'll try to put up everybody, really. So, you know, someone sees a 55-year-old woman doing a deadlift and they're like, hey, I'm a 50-year-old woman. Like, I could do this. Or they see an 80-year-old woman in our gym doing something awesome. Like, yeah, I could definitely do this. Or I put up my competitive power lifters and they're like, oh, sweet, they do powerlifting there too. And so I try to get the word out via that. In the past, I did some content as well on programming, movement-based stuff, nutrition as well. And I need to get back into doing that again, because that definitely was a benefit. But what I do stay away from mostly is like Facebook ads and Google ads. And I just found the return on investment really low.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it could be done well, but I currently don't have that skill set. Something I could develop in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I totally understand. I love how you, one thing that correct me if I'm wrong on this, but did you used to do like a dinner for people who were your, like, all your clients, something like that?
Absolutely. And this definitely leads to new people, but it also is a big piece of our retention. We do a team dinner every month, at least while COVID wasn't a thing. That's what we're starting again next month, but we do a team dinner, and there's nothing about it. It's informal. It's new places around the city all the time. We get together, we have a meal, we invite people's friends, and it's a good chance for all of us to connect outside the gym. And it's a good chance for people to bring someone that might be interested as well. And I thought that was an early stage. That was in the garage gym that started. And with the intention of, if you build a community, people will stay and people will invite other people. I was going to say, along those lines, that's where we developed something called the King of the Hill, too, which is a competition. It's a super friendly competition. I hesitate to even call it a competition, but it's a way to like celebrate new PRs and also kind of show off our athletes to the public, and other lifters that might be around or interested can come in and see, like, you know, we celebrate everybody and this is our environment and these are our people and look how different this is than what you might see in a commercial gym.
Yeah, dude, that's like, it's like what Planet Fitness tried and failed to do, but you do it so much better. Like, it's the true judgment-free zone, you know? Like,
yes.
That's awesome.
It's judgment-free plus, like, actual strength training.
Yeah, yes. And no pizza.
Hey, wait. We
nothing wrong pizza. With pizza. Dude, yeah, I like
you can,
pizza too.
You can have both.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, I am very much a like donuts and fueling my deadlifts kind of guy. So
absolutely
with you, man. Okay, cool. So let's talk the sales piece a little bit. I know that you said barbell, you know, and strength training comes up just naturally for you, but let's say that somebody is, you know, that has shared with one of their friends, one of their girlfriend, their, you know, their coworker, whatever. Or somebody has seen one of the wins on social media and they reach out. So you've got somebody who's a potential client. What does the process look like taking them from, you know, potential client to actual client?
Yeah, let's talk about two kind of important fundamental pieces in my mind about this. One of them we already touched on a lot, which is if you like your product and you trust your product and you're going to sell it, and it's really easy to sell. There's nothing that's going to feel artificial about it. It's going to feel genuine. All you have to do is talk about it and tailor it a little bit to the client that's in front of you. So sell something specific to them that's going to be a benefit to them. Like you might do in a job interview. Like, why are you the right selection for this specific business? Where a lot of people I find may get caught up talking about something more general. Mm. Make it to this person that's standing right in front of you. You know, tell them what benefits they're going to get out of it.
Yeah.
And what was the second piece I was going to touch on? Repeat the question one more time for me.
Just kind of like the sales process of taking a potential client to a client. What does that look like?
The other key piece, you got to make it really easy to do. There can't be a lot of steps in between. I find a lot of mistakes in smaller gyms and smaller personal trainers that you have to talk to them, and then you have to go to their website, and then you have to email them, and then you have to wait for them to email you back. And that is a great way to lose customers really fast.
Yeah. Put them through because, like, a gauntlet of tasks.
Yes. Yeah. Put them through a gauntlet. Put them through more than one task.
Yeah.
And you might lose some clients.
Right.
You want to make the process as simple as possible. So if I meet you in person, like, I don't want you to have to write down my info. I want to be able to hand you a card. And that card will take you to my website, which will take you immediately to the place where you can sign up. And if you wish, you can pay right there.
Yeah.
Right. I want as few steps, as few barriers as there possibly can be, so that there's a lot less chance for you to have to think about it before you press and pull that trigger.
Yeah, absolutely. So are most of yours done, like most of, you know, taking them from potential client to client, is that most of that done in person over a phone call? What does the medium normally look like? Maybe let's talk pre-COVID in normal circumstances.
It's a really diverse. There's a lot of clients I meet in person, hand them a card, and then they'll call me and I'll set up something right on the phone with them. And I have a system, and, you know, it emails them immediately, says, here's your session and time, and here's how to cancel, and here's how to reschedule. Cool. Similarly, there's a lot of just, I look at my calendar for the day. Oh, look, somebody's new is on the schedule. They just went to my website. They booked out a slot that I had free and I'm off and running. Cool. And all the info I need to take care of them is already in place. So I'm kind of seeing it from, and then a blend of those spectrums. Like, I got shot an email and I saw, you know, I saw them on the schedule already, or I got an email and I set them up through a session on email, just various ways to just try to funnel them towards that committing to that first appointment. And really the first appointment is the most important. If I can get them in the door, I know I'm going to keep them.
Yeah. That's awesome. That's cool. So this next question, and we've really probably touched on this already, it's just client retention. What kind of makes people stay once they're a client? I know we've already talked about you celebrate them, you create community through things like dinners and the, is it King of the Hill? Is that the right?
Yep. Correct.
Competition, things like that. Is there anything you'd add to that, or would you say that that sums it up pretty well?
Let's say community is the most important. I think in this industry specifically, community is what will keep people or what will not keep people. If you have a good community of people that they want to come back to see over and over and over, nothing else is necessary.
Yeah.
That's it right there. You create a family and then you've done it.
Yeah.
And then you need to support that. And we've supported that through the things we talked about.
Yeah.
And honestly, yes, you need to do good work. And you need to be a good coach and you need to show them results. But the funny part is, I honestly think that's secondary. Like that's the part I worry about as a coach. Like, yes, I need to do this for my clients. But the funny part is so many of them come back to see their friends and for the accountability and the routine of it.
Yeah. So let me just for clarification. So these people, are you mostly doing like one-on-one coaching, you and your coaches, or is it more like you're coaching in a group model and they know one another from the workouts type of thing? Like, what does the actual training look like?
Yeah, it started once upon a time, mostly just personal training. And then we got some room for classes and then the classes grew. And now it's moved more towards a group-based training. So gotcha. I still have personal training clients that want to have individual sessions, and for whatever reason they want to be private or something along those lines. And I still have those, and I send more of those to my coaches these days. And then we have a barbell club, and the barbell club is a period of time. It's a window of time. There's multiple of them throughout the week where a client can show up and they know a coach will be there whose job is to coach while they are there. And right now it's limited to 8 people, but we were at 14. And that's a great opportunity for me to also bring in some interns and get some coaching done with them as well. But that way we get a group together, they all train together, but they know there's a coach there who's going to walk them through the difficult parts and kind of keep them in the line. So it's an awesome blend of, hey, look, I'm getting some coaching, so I'm learning. Here's my community. But I'm also not being corrected by like a form correcting robot all the time. Like not every one of my sets has to be watched and critiqued. Right. Like sometimes I could just get in and do some of my work and pull the coach in when I need him. And
gotcha.
Otherwise I can joke with my friends and lift some heavy stuff.
Yeah. So they're on a program written by one of you guys. They come in, they do it themselves, but there's kind of a coach who's kind of walking around and kind of like just seeing a set here and there and helping them dial in their form.
That's correct.
Oh, that's cool, man. That's an awesome model. Awesome. So moving into this next part is a little bit, it's still business, but it's kind of a little bit more like you as the business person as well. So planning wise with your business, you know, what does it look like for you to like plan the future of Next Level Barbell, of your online coaching? I know that with Barbell Logic, you're not the, you know, with Next Level Barbell and Barbell Logic is probably two different things because you're running one and you're working for the other. But like, just in general, what does planning ahead look like for you? Are you like I've got a 5-year plan kind of person? Are you kind of a year by year? Like, how do you go about planning for the future?
Yeah, I'm much more immediate in my planning. I like to call it kind of a shotgun approach. That I will have a bunch of ideas and they'll make it onto a paper, and then I'll very specifically choose one of them and try it. I kind of believe in the yes and no maybe philosophy, where I look at an idea and I'm either yes, we're going to like, hell yes, we're going to do this, or no, we're not going to do it, and then just gone. And I don't try to waste a lot of time in the in-betweens of maybe we should try this. So I will throw an idea out there, I will run it to its conclusion, and then I will see, was that successful or not? And I've had a ton of unsuccessful ideas.
Yeah.
But I've also found a few really good ideas.
That's amazing.
That have helped grow my business. And I things come to me, little flashes of insight, they make a paper, and then I go with it. And that's Next Level Barbell. For working with Barbell Logic, like there is still some planning involved with that. Like, I just do coaching for them. But at the same time, like I'm trying to show them this new velocity-based training and how that actually could revolutionize their business. Yeah. So I'm taking these devices and I'm proving to some of the uppers, like, hey, look, there's not a lot of people that know how to do this, but I do know how to do this. Mm-hmm. And there is some opportunity here that I could show you how to grow your business. And
yeah. That's awesome. That's really cool, man. I like that concept. I mean, it's kind of like a taking imperfect action. You know what I mean? I think too often people are just so, you know, it's even interesting on this show. Like, everybody I've interviewed on this show has had, like, you know, had some good success with their businesses. But it's interesting because some people, I'm very similar to what you're saying. Like, I have an idea, I write it down, I write out a plan for it, and I execute it. And sometimes it goes awesome. Sometimes it blows up in my face. Like, I just bought a box truck a few months ago for my furniture business because my minivan wasn't sufficient anymore. And I mean, the thing is, like, one step above just a complete, like, lemon vehicle. Like, I'm about to sell it now. So, you know, so that's an example of an awful one. But there have been tons of just really good ones that have just worked out. So I think, you know, you just have to, there are going to be failures in there, but I think some people, they'll take, you know, they'll take years to plan before they'll even execute, try to execute an idea. And then if that was a bad idea, they just wasted a lot of time. You
know? Absolutely.
Yeah. Cool. So I'm kind of curious how people structure their days a bit. So, again, let's take the virus out of the equation here. Stay under ideal circumstances. How do you kind of structure your day? You know, it's okay if it's not a completely strict, oh, I do this and this, it, you know, it's completely time blocked. Maybe it is, but how do you kind of, like, what does your day look like? How do you structure your routine to be able to accomplish all the things related to your businesses?
Yeah. Google Calendar definitely runs my life. And that's how I very much not forget things, because otherwise I would.
Yeah.
As you probably know from the training business, like, there's a lot of mornings and a lot of evenings. You got to work the periods of time that other people aren't working.
Yeah.
So typically wake up, get some food, go to the gym, hit the training sessions in the morning, which are usually all the privates, usually my more elderly clients, and do the privates and get some food, go home. And then this is usually the point where I'll try to ride the productivity, and I'll start working on whatever major projects I have for the business for the day. And then I'll give that, you know, sort of my best attention of the day. That's when I feel the most alert and when I'm working at my best. I'll give that my full attention. And then I'll shift to some of the taskier stuff I have to do, like the online coaching. I'll try to get my online coaching mostly squared away to head back to the gym for the evening. And depending on if it's a day I'm going to lift or not, I will either go a little early or stay a little late, do my work, get my online session done, come home, and then I usually dedicate another hour after I get home to either learning something or, again, furthering something along the business. And then I try to take the very end of the evening to myself to do whatever I wish.
Yeah.
Unstructured.
Awesome.
But I'm a pretty hard taskmaster on myself. I'm my own meanest manager. So.
Yeah. I will say that, like, when I went fully self-employed, that was one thing that I thought I was way better at initially than I was like just structuring my own time, you know, like, and I would say I was above average, but I was definitely not the expert that I thought I was at structuring my time. You know, over this past year, I've definitely dialed in, like, I'm on a very time block schedule. I use, like, Calendly for people to link appointments, things like that. And it's revolutionized my productivity because I was wasting so much more time than I thought I would, you know? So, that's really, and I love the concept of how you said, you know, you kind of structure the time. I mean, I know the mornings and the evenings are kind of, that's where you have to give up a little bit of your autonomy because you are playing with someone else's schedule as well. But I love how outside of that, you've been able to say, okay, this is my time. This is the time when my brain works best to do this type of task. So I'm going to, you know, do that during this. And that took me a while to figure out too. So that's really cool. And then you mentioned kind of, you know, learning and self-improvement in the evening. What does that kind of look like for you? Are you, like, a big reader, a big, like, podcast listener? What is kind of, like, self-improvement and growth and honing your craft and stuff look like for you?
Reading would be the most common for me.
Okay.
I feel like I get through the most amount of info really quick, and there's so much good info out there. I mean, there's an infinite amount of good info out there, it seems like. And so it's usually a book. I'm usually hitting a book or some sort of course online. So, like, right now, and it's not even always related directly to my business. Sometimes it's just personal self-improvement.
Yeah.
Like, right now I'm reading The Subtle Art of How to Not Give a Fuck.
That one's on my list, actually.
Yeah. It's a good book. It's fun. And I'm also taking the performance nutrition courses. And then I also will schedule some seminars and stuff to kind of round that out. So Ed Cohen is coming to the region here pretty soon. And,
oh, man. Cool.
Yeah. So, but again, mostly books. And I have a gigantic collection of books at this point that I've been through.
Yeah. Man, that's amazing. I used to be a huge reader. These days, I'm on the go so much that it's heavily podcasts and audiobooks for me. But like, it's retention is a little more difficult, I will say. But volume, like I probably listen to like 4 hours of stuff a day, just between driving and anyway. So yeah, so that's cool. So just kind of starting to get a little closer to wrapping it up here. Let's say that you encounter somebody you know or whatever who's trying to start their own business. It doesn't have to be strength training. It doesn't have to be fitness related at all. But like, let's just say that somebody you know and care about is looking to start their own business and they're either about to or they're in the very early stages. What would be like the biggest piece of advice you would give them?
I got two really good ones.
Okay.
And one of them I like to put out there because I don't think enough people say it. I feel like so many people will say the opposite to this. Don't just follow your dreams. Because a lot of those people that say that had small million-dollar loans to start following their dreams, right?
Yeah.
Be smart about creating a business and try to – and talk with people and try to understand what that actually means. Because, as you know, small business – the market of small business is littered with failure. Your chances of success are low, and you need to take that into account. And the lifestyle that you're going to live for the first many years is not something a lot of people can put up with or want to put up with. So being just like going into any profession, I would say find somebody that you trust or that you know and kind of see what their life is like and talk to them about what their life was like before you just jump into it. And start small. Honestly, start small and see where it takes you. And because you can grow from there, but if you bite off more than you can chew, there are severe consequences for doing so and not a lot of support for you. So that's not to dissuade you from doing it, because I think the people that run small businesses successfully were always destined to run small businesses or bigger businesses. So you may be that person, and for you that it makes sense, but just make sure you are that person. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
I was going to say the other piece that I think was really important was, I can't remember what book this was. I think it was The E-Myth or Scaling Up, but it said, build your business like a franchise. And I thought that was really important, that I wanted to build my business as if I could just hand it off to somebody else and they could run it. So I want to automate as much as I can. I want to make everything have policies and systems and be organized so that I'm not just, you know, when I write an email, I don't hand write every single email. I have something, okay, boom, this is the email I send, or someone comes on new. This is how that process goes from A to B. I think that was super important in making it both feel professional and not wasting all my time.
Is that curious, when you first started like heavily coaching, was that something that you, did you, I asked because this was my mistake, but I'm curious if you, did you kind of like make promises to clients that like, as you scaled and grew, got more and more clients, you realized like that was unrealistic to do with a higher number of people? Did that happen to you at all?
Oh, absolutely. Some of the things that I would do definitely had to fall off, and some of the early clients, that's hard for to see that change.
Man, I love that. And I love what you said about, I think that I agree that a lot of times people are just, you know, I do believe personally that having some passion, I don't think it's required to be passionate about what you do. I do think you'll generally probably be better at it if you're a certain type of person. I know me personally, the things I've never been just like, you know, the only job that I've ever just completely sucked at was like sales in like a I was a staffing manager. So I did recruiting, and I was like the best recruiter there, because it was just sitting down, having discussions with people, learning about them, asking them about themselves, and like genuinely listening. That I could do. Sales, like going to a business and like trying to convince somebody to like use the service that I barely care about. I'm just kind of like doing this job for a paycheck, you know, like, so for me, that definitely, and then when I went out and started my own fitness, and even strangely discovered like a passion for like used furniture, which sounds really odd, but I enjoy it. Like those kind of things, it's so much easier for me to like get up and be motivated to do those things. So I do think there's value in being passionate about it, but I also 100% agree with you that you shouldn't just be like, oh, I'm passionate about this, I'm just gonna throw all my eggs in this basket and just, you know, I think that way too often, I do think that there are people who are wired to be like, you know, small business owners or do their own thing, and there are people who are more wired to just, you know, go and do it, like do a job for somebody else. You know what I mean? I don't think there should be shame or anything in either one of them. I just think that people are wired differently. 100% agree.
Man, very much agree. And some people really would be better off just doing their 9-to-5 job because that's that's a kind of a nice lifestyle in some cases.
Yeah. Definitely. Definitely. you know, it's interesting because I think that when you're in the it's always the grass is greener on the other side, right? You know, like when you're in the 9-to-5, you're just like, man, if I can control my own schedule, do my own thing, but you're also working like 40, 45 hours a week. And then you step out and do your own thing and you're like, oh, I'm in complete control. It's awesome. And then you suddenly realize I'm working like 80 hours. You know? And so it's like, what do you really want to be doing right now? Like, what's the most important thing to you? So cool. So anything else, man, that you'd want to add before we kind of wrap it up? You know, obviously the majority of people listening to this are either small business owners or people looking to start a small business. Is there anything you'd want to add that we haven't covered so far that you want them to hear?
I mean, I think we covered most of it, but my key advice is make sure it's what you want to do. Start small, and then kind of that shotgun approach of create some ideas and then do them. Yeah. If you're looking for perfect all the time, you're going to miss a lot of opportunities along the way. Just be ready to say yes and be ready for, you know, some of the consequences that'll come with that. But you'll learn a lot in the process and you'll find some gems of ideas.
Absolutely, man. Great stuff. Well, tell everybody the best places to find you if they want to search you out online.
Absolutely. So especially if you're in the Portland area and you're looking for a strength coach, nextlevelbarbell.com. We have coaches sort of for all price ranges. If you want to check us out on Instagram, Next Level Barbell, Facebook, Next Level Barbell. You can take a look at my own personal training at jordan.stanton.warrior.poet at IG. And then if you're looking for online coaching, you can find me at Barbell Logic Online Coaching.
Cool. Awesome, man. Well, Jordan, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to do this, man. And I thought it was really awesome episode. I'll listen to it myself again just to learn some stuff back. So thanks again, man.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Hey, Brandon again. Thanks for listening. If you enjoyed it, got anything from it, please tune back in and please share it with any other small business owners in your life.